This is Starship Wars, the Notfic, a Star Wars sequel trilogy fanfic written by Imaginary Golux and read by Rena Jenkins. This story is rated G and is gen, with additional tags for alternate universe canon divergence, alternate universe everyone lives, nobody dies, alternate universe crack, characters writing fanfiction. Summary. Best Beloved said, "What if the First Order and Snoke never happened, and the sequel series folks all met each other because they're all into historical RPF?" So, this happened. Poe, username Poe Hat Damn. Look, he was 16. Got into historical RPF after he got drunk with his squadron and round about 3 in the morning, someone said something about the utterly bantha shit conspiracy theory that Senator Leia Organa, adoptive daughter of Brea and Bail Organa, blessed be their memories, was the birth daughter of Her Highness Senator Padme Nabari Amidala of Naboo. It makes a sort of blurry sense through the booze. If she was a queen's daughter, it would only make sense for another queen to adopt her, right? And then in the morning, Poe can't quite forget it. He goes looking for evidence. He even finds some, which is baffling. And then he gets distracted by reading about the queen's handmaidens, and, well, Poe sort of understands the handmaidens, though he'll never say it aloud where his squadron could hear. They'd tease him mercilessly. But that utter devotion to a cause, to a person, that willingness to be their queen's shields and blasters and decoys, to kill and die for her, to follow her into hell and back. Yeah, Poe gets that. He sometimes thinks that if he'd been Nubian, and there'd been a king of the right age, he'd have kind of wanted to kneel down and lay his blaster at the king's feet and swear himself his life and sacred honor to something larger than himself. Someone bright and burning and good, like Padme Nabari was. So he gets interested in the handmaidens, and then he gets really interested in Sabe, the handmaiden who was most often the queen's decoy and her voice when she could not be present, who survived Padme Nabari's death and became instrumental in the rebellion. He intends to write a series of short ficlets about her adventures among the resistance cells, but he makes the cardinal mistake of starting too far back. Back before she is Sabe, before she takes the vows of a handmaiden, when she was only another daughter of Naboo. And now, well, now he's 300,000 words into Adventures of a Handmaiden, which is turning out to be actually a biography of the woman, a pretty damn accurate one if he says so himself, and he's only barely into Padme's first year as queen. He's got quite a following, too. He credits his BBB-8A on his profile because the little droid takes diction during their long hours in hyperspace, copies everything down for Poe to go through once they're on the ground again. BB-8 also says he'll tase Poe if Sabe ends up dead. So once Poe gets to the bits after Padme Nabari's death, the bits that aren't going to be found in any available files or holobooks, he is going to have to come up with something good. In the meantime, he's doing more research than he ever did at the Academy, trying to make sure that he gets every tiny detail right. He updates pretty regularly, about once every 2 weeks, because without a war on, being in the New Republic military is actually sort of boring. And aside from paperwork and training and getting drunk with his squadron, he doesn't have much else to do but write and wander the comments and the notice boards looking for other people like him, who are more interested in the history than the possibility of smut. Finn, FN2187, and his real name isn't Finn. It's about 18 letters long and has more symbolism than he could shake a really big stick at. Did a report on Mandalore for his tutors years ago and got hooked. Mandalore is a fascinating culture. It really is. And he read everything he could on it, including several articles on the life and adventures of Jango Fett, which led him inexorably to the Kaminoan clones who fought beside the Jedi and betrayed them, and were betrayed in turn. Finn has strong feelings about slavery, most of which boil down to a sort of horrified rage, and the clones, created and commanded to be soldiers, controlled by chips in their very brains, are clearly slaves. But he's fascinated, too, by the way they managed to create a culture, to retain pieces of their Mandalorian heritage, to give themselves names and insist upon their individuality, even among ranks of identical brothers. He reads everything he can get his hands on. And a prince can get his hands on a lot, sending away for rare holobooks, pestering distant academies for copies of their vid records of the war. His Mess Hall Tales is a collection of short stories, each from the perspective of a different clone. And they are different. It's obvious in the records he reads so voraciously, so he tries to get it right in his fix. This clone's dry humor, that clone's sharp tongue, another's penchant for melodrama. But all his fix end in angst, because there's only two endings for the clones. Death in battle, standing beside the Jedi they served and loved. And that's clear in all the records, the immense affection between the clones and their Jedi commanders. The good ones, anyhow. Or Order 66, and the chips, and the utter betrayal which let the Empire rise. Finn gets a lot of comments that are nothing but incoherent key-smashing and crying emojis. He tries to post at least once a month, but his actual duties are pretty extensive and time-consuming, and sometimes it's longer than that. Still, he's proud of his fix, of the research he does to give each clone their own voice and story. And it's a very good distraction at the end of a long day of politics and courtly courtesy, to be able to flop down on his bed and scroll through people saying nice things about the words he wrote. Rey, waiting for someone, scavenges all sorts of things out of the wrecks of the Star Destroyers on Jakku. Mechanical parts that she takes to Unkar Plutt and sells, of course, and ration packs, and sometimes water, and old droids and holobooks, and anything else she can lift or drag out onto the sand. She has to sell most of it, usually, but she always reads the records first, every scrap of data she can pry out of the hulks. It's a window into the galaxy somewhere. Some when, other than Jakku. There's a lot of propaganda on the ships about the Jedi, talking about how dangerous and treacherous and unpredictable they were. But Rey knows the imps were lying. That's common knowledge. So clearly, if they said the Jedi were bad, the Jedi must have been good. So she rewrites the propaganda, the stories of Jedi treachery and malice, until they're the way they ought to be. Stories about heroes. She writes really good adventures, actually, full of death-defying stunts and daring last-minute rescues and lightsaber battles along the edges of volcanoes and cliffs, or atop shuttles screaming through the clouds and only just barely missing mountaintops. But she doesn't know much about the Jedi Code, except that Jedi weren't allowed to marry for some reason. And she has the vague idea that the Master-Padawan relationship was sort of like those warriors she read about once from a planet called Sparta, who were always paired up with their lovers, only angstier and with more pining. Lots of pining. And bed-sharing. and huddling for warmth and hurt comfort and maybe a soul bond or two. She's actually quite good at the pining, but unfortunately her inspirations for the smut tend to be very bad porn hollows and her own overactive imagination. She is getting better, though, especially now that she's learned to count how many limbs the characters have and not add extra halfway through the scene. Her update schedule is incredibly erratic, based mostly on when she has enough fuel to connect her battered old console to the holonet. Sometimes she'll only have a brief little ficlet, sometimes a 50,000-word epic. It all depends on whether she's found any good propaganda recently. Her grammar isn't the best, and sometimes her spelling is questionable, but the bones of her stories are so good that she's got a lot of followers. She'd be a little surprised, really, if she ever found out how close to accurate the adventure parts of her fics are to historical reality. Rose, Durasteel Rose, got introduced to fic when her older sister forgot to log off of a shared console, and Paige, never give up, has never quite stopped kicking herself for that. Mostly because Rose tends to ask Paige to beta her work, and Paige likes fluffy soul-bonding AUs of her favorite holonet shows, while Rose likes to write incredibly angsty historical RPF set in the early days of the Rebellion. She's written a lot of Jyn Cassian, and a long and incredibly painful Bay Sherutt, The Force Is With Me, that's on half a dozen rec lists. The weird thing for a lot of Rose's readers is that while the actual story is usually full of heartbreak and doomed love and heroic self-sacrifice that saves the plans but never saves the people, the background mechanical details are incredibly accurate. Like, Rose knows exactly which parts were used to build K2SO, and how much fuel it takes to fly Rogue One a given distance, and the precise tensile strength of Durasteel. It's really weird for someone writing heavy angst to put that much thought into the mechanics of it, and some of her readers think it's some sort of odd social commentary, perhaps, or something. Regardless, she's so reliably accurate that her fics are actually used as resource materials by other people in fandom, who skim the horrible, tragic deaths to find the useful details buried underneath. Honestly, it's just that while Rose likes writing angst, what she knows is mechanical engineering, and she doesn't even usually have to do any research on those parts of her fic. Doesn't everyone know the tensile strength of Durasteel off the top of their heads? Armitage Hux, Tarkinson, failed out of the New Republic Military Academy, mostly on account of the 8 different papers he wrote arguing that the Empire was right, and is now the head of a small and mostly useless militia on a small and mostly useless planet halfway to nowhere. He's a little bitter about that. He uses that bitterness to write long, plotty, decently well-researched fics, in which Grand Moff Tarkin actually manages to successfully pacify the Rebellion, and the glorious Empire continues forever. Usually with Tarkin's completely fictional son, Giles, filling his footsteps after he steps down from his position in grand old age. And often with Tarkin and his loyal, clever, devoted son, seeing to the utter humiliation of that useless relic of a bygone era, Darth Vader. Who needs Force users when you have a Death Star, after all? Hux has an ongoing war in the comments of most of his fics with Ben Solo Organa. Kylo Ren. Who, having failed out of Jedi school on account of being too vicious by half, spends his days holed up in the basement of his mother's house, reading every fic that even mentions Darth Vader, and then leaving nasty comments complaining that my grandfather Darth Vader would never act like that. He really doesn't like Hux's version of the Sith Lord, and has a particular hatred for Tarkinson, who says such nasty things about the great Darth Vader. Hux isn't too fond of him, either. Phasma, chrome-plated heart, used to be just as enthusiastic about Grand Moff Tarkin as Tarkinson is. Her real love is Palpatine, of course. He of the long-range plans and the incredibly clever backstabbing. She's mauled herself after him a bit, what with the convincing Kanji Club to get her off her birth planet by beating up enough of them that they adopted her, and then selling them out to the local military detachment in return for the promise of a commission. But she isn't a Sith Lord, so she cannot precisely become Palpatine. Tarkin, though, seems pretty achievable, and she and Tarkinson write most of the fic for him. Right up until the day that FN2187 leaves a cordial, if stilted, note on one of her fics, pointing out that while Tarkin was indeed a very good Grand Moff, the true master of the art of war was indisputably Admiral Thrawn. Phasma still isn't very fond of FN2187, who is far too concerned with the tender feelings of the clones. Clones, really. Who cares what they think or feel? But she has to admit he has a point. Admiral Thrawn is indisputably the master of the art of war. She reads everything she can by and about him, and her next 7 fics are all focused entirely on his clever battle strategies. Tarkinson leaves snippy little comments on every fic, and gives her 8 kinds of bantha shit over their private comm chat, but Phasma ignores him magnificently. If he wants to keep imitating an inferior role model, that's his problem. Phasma isn't stupid enough to imitate anyone but the best. Leia, not your princess, does actually know about Poe's fic, though she doesn't know it's Poe's. She has an alert set up to let her know if anyone seems a little too invested in the still-active conspiracy theory that she is Padme Naberi's daughter. And Poe's space blog was full of exactly that for weeks before he got hooked on one of Padme's handmaidens. And then, of course, Leia had to read the fic to make sure it wasn't full of the same theory, and now she waits with badly concealed impatience for each update. Poe Hot Damn is good, and Leia likes learning about this woman who is almost family. She never comments, though. That would be too weird. Luke, who doesn't have a username, follows waiting for someone's fix, because years ago Ahsoka, 2 Blades, forwarded him one with the note, "All the bits about romance are bantha shit, but how the criff does this person know the details of that mission? It was classified to hell and back, but they've got every detail note perfect." He's rather taken aback by how often the adventures are impossibly accurate, and also by the ongoing argument she has in her comments section with Poe Hot Damn. It seems waiting for someone is of the strong opinion that Luke Skywalker must be the son of Anakin Skywalker, the hero with no fear, and she thinks that the most obvious choice of a mother would be Padme Naberi Amidala. Poe Hot Damn is sure Padme Naberi is Leia Organa's mother, and of course they can't both be right. Luke's honestly not sure whether to applaud their deductive reasoning or despair that the secret he and Leia have kept for so long is so very transparently easy to see through. Han, nerf herder, knows absolutely nothing about historical RPF, or fic, or indeed any of the shenanigans going down. He has a space blog, 90% of which is blurry photos of various planets or the interior of an incredibly beat-up ship, but the other 10%, and the reason both Poe Hot Damn and Waiting for Someone, among many others, follow him, is these long, rambling posts about his adventures with Farm Boy and the Princess, all of which are utterly improbable. The one about getting stuck in a wampa on Hoth, for Criff's sake. And yet, so incredibly detailed and period accurate that no one can decide if he's telling the truth or doing some epic trolling. As it happens, he usually posts those when he's very drunk and very bored, and Chewbacca isn't around to take his Holonet connection away. Chewbacca. has the most popular space blog of all of them, even though it's entirely in Shriwook. You don't need to understand the captions to really enjoy cute kitten pictures, after all. The end. Author's notes. Giles was a historical hermit, and Armitage is related to Hermitage. So, yes, Giles is totally Hux's self-insert. A Shriwook for Fly Casual. Reader's notes. So, I'm on vacation in Disney World right now, and I don't have a Podfic bingo card for 2019, but I am going to check off record in a new place, possibly, if I get one for 2019, because despite the fact that we have been coming to Disney World for over two decades, and I have been recording Podfic for very nearly one decade, this is the first time I've ever recorded something in Disney World. I mean, okay, technically we're in one of the resorts right now and not in the park, but still, this is very exciting for me. Thank you to Imaginary Gullix for giving me such an exciting AU. I love the idea of these people writing, like, because yeah, it's, what, 60 years out from when the sequels take place? So, and all of the, like, Senate hearings were technically public information, right? So I love the idea of Poe eventually, like, coming up with... coming upon sort of this sort of Senate notes for the time that all the senators got held hostage and Anakin had to come in and rescue them. And then him and Rey doing some kind of collab because there's the propaganda on Anakin Skywalker. And then there's the stuff where Padme showed up and everything. And I like them writing a collab. I also like Finn pointing out that actually Thrawn was better at war. That's why I love Finn and the clones. And all of it. This is such a cute AU. It's a great idea. So yes, thank you for writing. Thank you for listening. I should really take some kind of rest because we have to be in the park in an hour. Anyway, thanks for listening. Hope you enjoyed it. Have a nice day.